Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we will meet two fascinating people who kind of have nothing to do with each other, except that they have been brought together for an event here in New York tonight by the Auburn Theological Seminary. Wardek Herza is a 23-year-old peace activist and aspiring journalist from Cape Town, South Africa. Her faith is Shia Muslim, and she is working to build bridges between the Shias and Sunnis and other non-Muslims in post-apartheid South Africa. Elspeth Gilmore from here in New York is a co-director of Resource Generation, a group of young American philanthropists trying to use their wealth for social change with a consciousness of their privileged class status in mind. Her religious background is Quaker, and rumor has it that she carried a sign to Occupy Wall Street that read, "Tax me, rich kid, for redistribution." These two women from very different backgrounds will both be taking part tonight in a benefit for the Interfaith Auburn Seminary and talking about how people from the millennial generation in different countries are organizing for peace and justice in new ways and where their diverse religious backgrounds come into it. So, Elspeth and Warda, an honor to have you both here. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Elspeth, did you show up to Zuccotti Park wearing a sign that said, "Tax me, rich kid, for redistribution"?
I did.
Tell us more about Resource. Well, I think we can understand what that meant. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about Resource Generation then. Who are you and what are you trying to do differently besides pay your taxes voluntarily?
So Resource Generation, as you said, is a national organization that organizes young people under 35 to bring all what we have to make social change in the world. So we are bringing our creativity, our time, our talent, and also have this additional piece of having resources to bring and getting to be down at Occupy Wall Street and stand as the 1% with the 99%. It's an amazing opportunity. People are standing up all over the country to say that there actually is enough, and it's just not redistributed equitably. So,
where do Americans tend to think of South Africa as being divided by black and white and other racial lines, not by Shia or Sunni or other faith lines?
Yes.
Tell us about your work in Cape Town.
Okay. Face-to-face in Cape Town, it's run by an organization called GOAL, which means giving opportunities to aspiring leaders. So we work towards giving these opportunities for youth of different faiths and different races and religions. And I feel that even though race is still evident, there are many other issues that the youth are faced with. Personally, as a Shia Muslim, often discriminated for being a Shia Muslim as we form the minority in Cape Town. But face-to-face has equipped me with the ability to deal with that and work towards peace.
Face-to-face is a program of the Auburn Theological Seminary that you've participated in,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's it.
So how are you working to solve those problems in South Africa?
Well, through dialogue, we bring together youth of different faiths. And in these workshops and in these local camps and programs that we run, they share stories about each other and their different lifestyles and ways to work towards dealing with these issues as best they can.
Elspeth, can you tell us about your Quaker upbringing and how that informs your work as a philanthropist?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I was raised Quaker here in New York City. And for me, I think it really goes back to an early development of core values, of a belief in justice, in community, and taking care of each other. And I think the community that I've developed through going to youth group as a child and going to a Quaker college really allowed me to develop those core values of how I can bring myself to making change in the
world.
Which
college did you go to?
I went to Earlham College.
And did you go to the Friends School growing up?
I didn't.
But you've spoken before about asking yourself and asking your parents growing up, according to an article I read about you, how can you reconcile the Quaker values of justice and simplicity with the wealth and lifestyle that your family was fortunate enough to have? At how young an age did you ask yourself this?
Good question. I think when going to Upper East Side private school and walking by people on the street every day was a pretty early awareness that something was off. But I think it's been quite a journey figuring out actually how what that could look like. And right now in resource generation, organizing in my own community, organizing other people with wealth has been a really amazing place to find myself and be able to be a leader there.
So what was that like for you as a kid? Did you and your parents sit around the dinner table and say, wait, we're Quakers and we're for justice and simplicity, but we have all these money and I'm walking past all these homeless people near the subway at 79th Street or whatever it was. And how did that go?
Wasn't quite dinner time conversation like that. I think it looked a lot like holding the contradictions, which I think a lot of us live with in a lot of different ways. So holding, being able to have money and go on vacations and have adequate health care and dental care and all these things that everybody should have. And then at the same time, knowing that, yeah, it wasn't an overt conversation. I think it was much more being instilled with values and doing the best we could. And my mother and my father both were really involved in social change in various ways, in civil rights movement and anti-nuke work. And I think those values came to me really deeply. And we all, every generation, we figure out what it can look like and how we can build on the last.
My guests on WNYC are Elspeth Gilmore, co-director of Resource Generation, a group of young American philanthropists trying to use their wealth for social change, and Warda Herza, 23-year-old peace activist and aspiring journalist from Cape Town, South Africa, Shia Muslim, working to build bridges across faith lines in her home country, both taking place tonight in an Auburn Theological Seminary benefit, talking about how the millennial generation in different countries are organizing for peace and justice in new ways. And so here you both are from disparate backgrounds coming together for this Auburn Seminary a benefit tonight. Have you two met before this morning, before this show?
We met a half an hour ago.
So I'm curious about what you're each thinking as you listen to the other speak. Warda, what are you thinking as you listen to Elspeth?
Well, she has an amazing story, and I think, yeah, it's very inspiring. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about finding that common goals and working towards that at the end, that common goal of peace.
Elspeth?
I think getting to meet Warda this morning and then be part of this event this afternoon or this evening, we're both developing young leaders in our respective countries. So, and I think that's the future of what we're all working for. So getting to learn more and hear about how Warda is doing it in specific and learn from that and figure out how we're gonna make change.
Is it too strange a question to ask, what do Quakerism and Shia Islam have in common? They come from different planets historically and culturally. Do you think either of you can put any commonalities into words, Warda?
Well, I think at the end of the day, faith is important. Having faith is the way forward. And with face-to-face, creating this new generation of leaders through faith-based activities, even though we're from different faiths, but finding that common understanding is important.
Yeah, I think Warda said it well. I think when I develop young leaders within Resource Generation, it's so much about figuring out our own stories and our own histories and how we pull strength from that. So whether it's from Shia Muslim history and faith or Quaker or Jewish or whatever it looks like, pulling from our own stories and finding that strength to keep fighting and, yeah.
Where does generation come in? Elspeth, your evening at Auburn tonight is billed as a conversation about how millennials are organizing for change in new ways. Do you see it as different in your work from past generations who might have also been philanthropists interested in social change?
Absolutely. So there's a huge history of philanthropy in this country, and I think we're building and continually learning and changing that. I think one of the ways that we do philanthropy differently at Resource Generation and in this new generation is to think about how we are not just moving resources, but actually looking at the fundamental structural causes of wealth disparity, of people not having enough, and moving resources to communities who actually have amazing solutions to those issues.
So give me an example of the one kind of philanthropic giving versus the other.
Well, so for example, just to go with Occupy Wall Street and tax policy, right now we are organizing, so bringing our time and our energy and our resources to support organizing around a more just and fair tax policy, which will then look at how we have more public resources so that we all, you know, the 99 and the 1% can count on reliable health care. So that's an example of how we're looking to communities who are organizing.
Warda, you grew up in You're 23, is that right?
So 22.
22.
Yes.
So almost entirely in post-apartheid South Africa. Yet the history still defines a lot of the social and economic structures.
Yes, sir.
How much is your own thinking influenced by the legacy of apartheid, and how much is it an attempt to move on from thinking in those terms?
Well, I think especially from the older generation, in many individuals, especially the youth, they have this almost like this stereotype passed down where these racial, they still exist. So they pass down to their kids and their kids, and we're trying to eradicate that. So with face-to-face and with this new generation that's being created, we want to move forward from that and face the issues that we are currently dealing with.
And so how does that get reflected in your work on the ground? Give me an example of what you would do to fight that legacy and also enhance understanding.
Well, definitely through dialogue, through being open and sharing stories and engaging with each other and hearing the story from the other side. That's definitely the main way of doing that.
I'm curious if you, maybe from just listening to each other here for those few minutes, for these few minutes, have any question that you would want to ask the other. It puts you on the spot a little bit because you didn't know I was going to invite you to ask a question. But what are you listening to, Elspeth?
Yes.
Comes from a different country, very different background,
yes.
Religiously, economically. What question might you want to ask her this morning? Anything?
Well, at the top of my head, if as I am, I just graduated as a student, and I'm just thinking if I was in Elspeth's position of inheriting that amount of money, like what motivated you to want to start the organization you did and why?
Mm-hmm. So for me, so the organization is actually 13 years old, so I was actually brought up through the leadership of it. It sounds like actually similar to you in face-to-face. So I came out as a member and then developed up through it. And for me, it's been a slow process of taking my core values and then realizing that it's actually in my self-interest. So all of the stuff that I'm doing is actually for me and for my community and for my family. It's not about saving poor people out there who need help, but actually yes. saying the world that I want to live in is going to be about changing pretty fundamental systems and structures. So it motivates me every day. And my community is the 99% too.
I think it's pretty amazing.
Do you have a question for Warda, Elspeth?
I think I'm 33 now, not old, but not just out of college anymore. And just curious what the young people that you work with, who at this point are actually younger than you as well, are mm-hmm. telling you. Like if we're listening to the next generation, yes. I'm already a little bit older than that. So how are people wanting to make change?
I think it doesn't matter your age. It's just about just trying to create a world that's a better place to live in. And just trying to, if there is conflict, how do we deal with conflict? But dealing with it in an adequate way. So just working towards peace and understanding and finding a common ground with each other, no matter what race or religion or who you are, but having that respect for each other.
Do you think there's something very South African about that? Because I think a lot of Americans have this sense, maybe because of Mandela, maybe because of the
yes.
grace with which the South African anti-apartheid movement progressed and won, that that's a very South African ethic.
I think so, but I think through my experience with face-to-face, it's become, from all the different regions, I've actually adopted it then. But I do feel post-apartheid, like we've come such a long way and learned so much from how to deal with the conflicts that we've been through and how to face the ones we're currently going through.
Now, with the Auburn Seminary here in New York, you have done what they call their face-to-face, faith-to-faith program, as you mentioned. So what was that like for you? And how does it inform your work in South Africa?
Well, the experience being a participant was honestly a life-changing experience. that's actually an understatement because I kind of actually like to describe the impact of the program. It really has affected my life
can't
dramatically.
Can't describe how much it has.
I can't,
what was it,
yeah.
a summer in New York
yes,
with other young people from around the world?
Yes, that's right. 2 weeks in New York, youth from different parts of the world, with sharing different stories. I think it made me reflect a lot within myself, and I've learned a lot about who I am and where I kind of fit into society, and it inspired me to actually study and become a journalist. Like I was very much drawn to the stories that were shared at the intensive, and how these stories can unite people and unite humanity.
So you see journalism almost in the same vein as you see your role as a peace activist.
Yes, I do. I believe journalism will give me like the ability to be able to, or the platform for these stories to be shared. And it's something I'm really passionate about, because I believe that people and their stories and their voice need to be heard.
Boy de Herze from Cape Town, South Africa, and Elspeth Gilmore, co-director of Resource Generation here in New York. They'll both be taking part in an Auburn Theological Seminary benefit tonight on millennials and social change. Thank you both for sharing some of this with us.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.